Okay, well, we can then start with the meeting. So we are going to continue in outreach and really look at the spiritual aspects of it. How many started developing a personal plan for evangelizing? One, two, three. What happened to the other?
Oh.
See, the idea is, okay, that's good. I think so. But it's good to, let the others know, too, that you're doing something because that's the way to motivate others to participate in the process of reaching out, okay, and to end results. Praise the Lord. So, the thing is, to do that, they involve a commitment and wanting to learn something if you weren't doing it before. So there is a, it's a process that's going to be involved. It's not going to be done by itself, okay? But this is the way to get experience and to get results, okay, by going through a process, by applying the word, applying the principles that we learn in the word to see how to work with them, how to be effective in reaching out, and the world is full of examples. The world is full of ideas on how to do it. And, the difficult part that we had to overcome, some ideas that we may have that are, more or less something we learn from traditional man and is, may not be the things that you should be doing. Okay, each person is different, so different people may be more comfortable about different doing different things, but the idea is though that some things are going to be more effective than others, no matter who you are. And so when you start understanding the way God has designed this and our what the Bible says about that, then one can make progress. Okay. And one of the best ways really to see your experiences, okay, and to see the results you get, okay, in terms of really the final impact. Because, the idea is not witnessing for the sake of witnessing, so to show that, you are brave and you are courageous, so you whatever. Okay, the idea is to produce people for the kingdom, bring people into the kingdom, and to get them to have a understanding what Jesus has done and how to stay with him. That's what makes the difference. And if we understand what and we connect properly with the Lord, okay, we can see the factors that generally need to be included into our reach, which is really discipleship and multiplication. Okay, that's the final objective of reaching out. Okay, and this is often really not even considered. There is not much discipleship going on in these days. And I think that we should, understand how to do that in a scriptural way. Okay. And it's, achieved by, first, thank you, by personal contact, and that is essential in that, and to minister in spirit and to truth, not, to be, following just ideas. And really, the difference of ministering in spirit and in truth rather than just convey our ideas or things, it's really to connect with the people at the level they are. That's critical. You cannot work from your level, you have to work at their level. And you can see very well that taking place in John chapter 4 when Jesus started talking to the Samaritan woman. Okay? I'm not going to go into that again, but this is really very important. But, you know, one has to understand that the basic principle, basic things that one has to consider it as the most important component is prayer. Praying is critical to be effective in outreach. But, you know, we have to understand, you know, what and how to pray. Okay. There is more than just praying for people to, you know, respond. Okay. Prayer is has to do with, you know, for us to have clear direction, information, and the anointing to do it. That is, you know, what is very important to understand, to, you know, pray so that we understand the hindrances that we have and the hindrances that people have to receive. Okay. And to pray that we can see our attitude when we do, when we minister to others, because that's critical. Okay. What and how we share. You know, sometimes it's much more effective to ask, you know, questions to people than actually to tell them all the things that, you know. The right question, the right, you know, question that produced them to think and question their own thought and idea. That is what has to happen, because they had to change some way of thinking. And so, you know, unless it's not a question of trying to put down what they think, it's now to see that they can see through the truth. And it is, you know, really ministering in the spirit and in truth. But more important for us ourselves to look for the truth. Okay. So you know, I'm suggesting you develop your own list, identify your name, start praying for them, making the proper connection, finding out what the Lord says about different people, who the priorities should be. Because, you know, there is just as much time that you have. Because there are many things going on. And so you have to use your time wisely. You have to use their time according to God's priorities. You know, and we do that by coming into, you know, the relationship with Him, coming into a place of listening to the Holy Spirit, give us direction so that we can connect with them. Not from, you know, better than you position, but in a position of, you know, be able to hold their hands and go along with it. How many has done anything along those lines? One, two. Can I ask you to share a bit what you have done? Lucy?
Yeah, well, what I've done is I went through the notes that you've given us to give a framework, an overview of what yeah. to do, just to give me some background. And I prayed to look at the people that were around me in my environment, and I identified them. And from that, I started to take a person and identify what we have in common, how I've met the person, because it's the people that are around me in my environment, and what are their health, their issues, you know, what is on their mind, what is bothering them, what they need prayer for. And that really helped me to better, well, see where they are as well spiritually, as well as I have had some discussion with some of them. And what, you know, where they are spiritually, their belief. And sometime I have not gotten there, so I'm still working on that. And seeking the Holy Spirit to also guide me when I'm with them. And I've set up some meetings with some of them. And that has helped me. When I did a good framework, and I realized that many of my contacts, they all need prayer with regards to health. They all have health issues. It's all the majority The majority of them are sick, and some of them have dissension in families, a few of them. And so I have a little variety. So that has given me sort of a framework, an overview. And I've prayed again, at night. And this morning I received another name. My brother, the Lord brought him to my attention in my dream. And the night before I had spoken with him, and he told me during our conversation, he said, a lot of people don't believe in the Lord, but if they only knew what's coming and what's happening. So I was very grateful that he said that. So I said, thank you, Lord, because you're confirming as I'm talking to him about wishing him a happy new year. And so I've had three of my family members on my list because I'm closer with them and I have a good relationship with them and they know where I stand. And all my friends know where I stand. They know my belief. They know my love for the Lord. So this is where I am. So it's work in progress. And it has given me, it has encouraged me because I said, well, I do know quite a bit about my friend. And I do know a bit what their problems or issue. And those that I don't know, I will seek more. And I will, like you said, identify what are the priorities. If I have 9 person, what are the priorities? Because I have a few friends that are, it's going to be more difficult because they're really into the LGBT, let's open the church for everybody. So that's going to be quite challenging, but the Lord can do miracles. So I have faith and I trust the Lord will guide me.
Amen.
So that's where I am.
Praise the Lord. So you got some positive results.
I do. I mean, with my brother, I was really very excited when I spoke to him. And with my other brother, too, there's a situation that happened about my sister who was at the hospital. And I heard him saying a really, word, a wise word of the Lord. He said, they will have to, appear before the Lord and be judged for what they're doing. And I was saying, oh, okay, my brother does, I know he's a believer. He's from the Catholic Church, but he prays every night with his wife. And I'm seeing things. The Lord is showing me,
Good.
And
you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to pray with them, together with them for their sickness and so on, and coming just against the symptoms, against the things, for things to resolve. That's a witness, both because you show that you care about them, but also because, you believe, you exercise your faith, and God moves for your faith because he wants to show them that, he is real.
Okay? Amen.
And so you keep working on them. Praise the Lord. Good.
And my sister Joanne also, just to finalize, she accepted that I pray for her this week. I've been asking her to pray for her. She said, no, I pray. I'm okay. I don't need you to pray for me. It's been like this for 8 months. And this week she was quite sick. And I said, would you like me to pray for you? And she said, yes, please do pray for me. And I said, well, Steve and I will pray for you tonight. So the Lord is showing me that things are moving.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good, good. Excellent. See, that's and just, keep watering, the seed there, and it's going to grow. And just do it wisely so that don't turn off. But, we have to be as wise as serpent and as gentle as doves. Amen. That's good. Praise the Lord. How about you, Kathy?
I have a couple people, but one of the persons is quite close to me. So what I started with was writing down all the times that the Lord sort of worked and answered prayer in that person's life. And it was quite a few times, and I didn't sort of realize that. So I had written all those things down and just how the Lord had actually worked, and just made me more aware how the Lord had worked in them. And I was praying for wisdom about the blockages and things and sort of how to, you know, address that. And I sort of didn't get too much on that yet, but I'm still going. But also what I did before that was write down all the things that, how the Lord worked in me in my life. And when I started writing things down, I was like, whoa. So that was sort of a good thing to start with, actually.
Yeah.
Just realizing, you know, how the Lord had worked and throughout my life and my family's life and everything like that. So, and then I had another person that's sort of a friend, and I did the same thing. I wrote down, you know, the times I prayed for her, the things that had happened, and just, you know, asking for direction, keep praying for direction for that. So it's been good so far. So I have some other people too that I'm going to sort of do the same thing and keep praying for direction.
Mm-hmm. It's good. You know, the key, you know, and just apply for everybody, is to learn to drop seeds anytime that you get the opportunity. Okay. It doesn't need to be a big seed. You just need a seed that, you know, prepare the ground. Okay. And, you know, one has to understand how to learn how to do that. But really, that's very easy. You know, one can learn to be very effective in doing that and just making just a statement here and there that changes the atmosphere. And sometimes, you know, they can say nothing. Other times, they just can respond and you take the opportunity to keep ministering to them in that area. You know? So that is really... That's good. Praise the Lord. There was anybody else? I can't remember. Yeah, Lucy, you. You'd like to share?
I could share. Around me, there are a lot of people who don't really want to know the Lord. So I've been...
So you have a good field.
Yes, I have a very good field.
That's right.
I'm doing right now is really taking care of my own behavior.
Yeah.
To really, like for instance, at Christmas with my family, there were instances of people talking against other people. And I really made sure that I brought them a different way of, I said, you know, why don't we change the focus? This is not, you know, getting us at in any very happy place. And so they're starting to notice that I don't get into these conversations anymore, and I can see that they're startled, and it's happened with a few other people too, where like I have a friend who's sick, you know, I had COVID and she's not a Christian, she never thought of even asking how I was feeling, but now she's got COVID. And I brought her soup, you know, and just, and they're like, who is she now? She's so different now. And so I'm just planting seeds this way,
yeah,
on a few people around me. And I can, like another friend, you know, after 4 days, I was testing negative on COVID. And she exclaimed herself, she said, this is a miracle. I said, yes, it is. So, you know. Then eventually I'll be able to talk more. But for now, I'm being very aware not to go beyond what they can take.
Yeah, you see, you respect their ground, but you should be yourself, okay? That what actually has a big effect on them, you know? So then you can keep planting seeds, you know, just dropping things there and just without, you know, just because it's you, it's not, okay? Not just they're doing something with them, but that works very effectively. You know, that makes you able to minister to people even in an environment in which you generally can't. See, I did that when I was working with the government, you know, with people working under me. You know, you cannot do that. You cannot. But well, I brought quite a few to the Lord anyway. So, you know, that shows that actually, I'm making a prediction here. You know, this year, let's get a few people working this way and see the impact that is going to have at the end of the year. Don't look at it now. Just wait some time. At the end of the year, let's remember to just see what happened. You keep notes of what's happening with the outreach, personal outreach, and then we are going to see, you know, what you have learned and what, you know, what others can do too if they haven't applied these principles.
The other thing is praying for them. Whenever someone gets on my mind, if I know they have a problem, I'm praying for them. And I'm praying that the Lord touches their hearts so that they get curious and that there is a time when we can actually have a talk. Yeah. So that's the other thing. I'm praying with a friend doing that too.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing I wanted to say. One of the way to start actually is even though you and share, you know, when they need prayer, if they accept prayer, you know, to pray for them and not say, I'll pray for you, but praying with them right on the spot. Okay. And because, you know, we pray differently than most of the people pray. So, you know, that we are used to that, but they aren't. We are not going to.
Well, I have an example that I prayed for a friend a few months ago. She was very sick. And I said, would you like me to pray for you? And she said, yes, sure. And I prayed and she felt the Holy Spirit. She was quite amazed. However, after that, she got sick for 6 weeks. She had a parasite in herself. Now, I know the Lord is bringing her to a place where she'll have to make big changes in her life. But I felt quite bad, actually, because she didn't get healed. She got worse.
Yeah, well, maybe if the things came up, became evident, that was a good thing too.
Yeah, I don't know that, but the appearance, you know. Don't think she thought it was the prayer who did that, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, good. Anybody else has anything you'd like to share?
Well, for the first time, I don't know if I've already mentioned this, but during the Christmas New Year holiday, I think it was on Wednesday, I went for supper at my uncle because I decided I was going to make him an apple pie, which I did. So I was invited. But in during our conversation after we finished eating, I spoke more of where my stand is today compared to many years ago. And I don't know how he took that, that I'm with the Holy Spirit and my purpose is to help people get closer to God, sort of thing. And we spoke for a little while about that. And I felt that he was a little uncomfortable about this type of discussion, you know, because I mean, he knew me differently from the past, you know, so here I am. And I thought it was an opportunity for me. And I just want to thank the Lord that there was an opportunity there, but it's coming. I don't know.
Well, you were sharing about yourself, so you were witnessing about what you were experiencing.
Yeah, yeah, sharing a little bit about myself. Yeah,
that's fine. So there's nothing they can, you know, they may be uncomfortable because they don't understand these things, but it's good.
Yeah.
You took a position, you show yourself,
yeah.
You know, show the position you are in now, and that, you know, that's good. That's fair.
Yeah, I just hope that I didn't push him into anything.
Well, you didn't push him. You didn't ask him to do anything, did you?
No, I didn't.
You just share about yourself, that witnessing.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So he can say, he may not agree with you, but, you know, that's going to stay with him.
Yeah.
And he's going to, you know, the thing is, one of the things that happen when we do these things, when we do start outreaching this way, the people start looking at us, start observing us.
Right.
And anything that we do that is in the flesh, they know it more than we do. And so we had to learn to you know, look after ourselves and behave properly, because they're going to judge us. But if they see that we are changed, they see that we are different than before, that is the strongest testimony, because they really see that the thing is real and is not just religion, just a show off. Okay. Yeah. So it's in the things that we actually don't say that sometimes are more, even more effective than the things that we say.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because I'm not aware of it, or I'm not thinking about it.
That's right. You're just being yourself, and they notice it. Okay. And they say, oh, this guy is the same. He wasn't, you know, before he was crummy, or before he was reacting, you see in the situation, you know, the people react and so on. And it doesn't touch you, you know, and you are at peace. And you are peace even when situations are difficult. So that people notice it so much that they just, you don't, you know, just being yourself, okay, just being yourself, showing the Lord inside you, because that's what it is. He's transformed us, manifests the fruit of the Spirit in us. That in itself, you know, has an effect. But then we don't stop there. You know, we take opportunities to go further and minister to them. You know, when we see a need, when we see an opening, when, you know, we plant a seed and they respond in a positive way and we see an opportunity to come, you know, that makes a big difference. Lots of people say, you know, well, family and friends are difficult to reach out. That's not true. They are the easiest to reach out. It may take a bit of time and they may know us, you know, in a way that doesn't help us to start with. But that even if the situation was bad before, if now we are different, if now we are, you know, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, that's what actually has more an effect than anything else. That's a way actually to produce many results.
Okay. I even responded back later on, couple of days, when he sent me a Larson card online. It's like a greeting card, you know, for Christmas. Yeah. And I responded back and I said that I even said, I hope you weren't offended by the discussion that we had about this but it doesn't like it. It doesn't seem, because we're going to meet again for a big get together, family celebrating many birthdays at a restaurant in about a week from now. So
that's fine.
So
praise the Lord.
No bad feelings. That's good. And maybe I'll tell him. I told him I was at peace, more at peace now than I've ever been with the Lord.
Yeah,
that's want him to be aware of that.
Well, I'm sure that he can see it. You know, we can see it too. So. Praise the Lord.
Good. Pastor.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Pastor, I both of us forgot at the beginning when you asked for testimonies, but actually it's better that I bring this testimony forward. I talked with you privately at church about visiting on the 27th or 28th at Malone's brother's place in Orleans and his wife. And we knew that their daughter was going to be there from Welland, a 32-year-old single lady. She has a 10-year-old daughter. And I had met her about 11 or 12 years ago in Aylmer, an Aylmer wedding. Didn't know the young lady that well, and Marilyn hasn't seen her that much in years. And so we were visiting, and we discovered, that she was quite concerned about the time she was in. She went through a lot of challenges with the marriage out west, and her husband left her stranded out west, and she struggled trying to get back to home. And so we were listening to some of her experiences, and her concerned about the school system. It's concerned for her daughter. And so with all of this in the discussions and listening to her father and mother, I started to describe some of the issues that I had been facing in the past and my experiences and how I learned to trust the Lord in guiding me a whole lot more, and how I actually came to the Lord recognizing that the Lord had really guided my footsteps when I really didn't even know it. And it took quite a while for me to recognize that I couldn't have done what I did.
Amen. Yeah.
Without the Lord, without the Lord's presence and guiding me. And so out of all of that discussion and watching how serious-minded, and some of the things that she was saying were very responsible statements. And one statement that I can't even remember what she said. Well, I said, I had to come to the realization that God was a bigger factor in my life, something to that effect. I can't even remember now, because it was just naturally Holy Spirit driven that was coming out of me. And I asked her, I said, would you like to belong to a family where you can get this kind of guidance? And I would describe that God is a spirit, and he's guiding us in spirit and in truth. And she said, yes. And it just came out of me like, this girl is really asking in some way, shape, or form. She's asking. And I said, would you like to do that? And would you like to become that, to get guidance? And she said, yes. And so I said, well, okay, you just pray after me. And it was fairly lengthy, and asking the Lord to guide her as well and by his spirit. And she said everything. And I can't remember, did you say the same thing with me, or was it just her? It was just her. And and then after we talked about belonging to a family of God, and that you really feel that all of the righteousness of God, and I had to explain what that meant, right standing with God, he's going to guide you. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you. He's your helper. And, she was taking it in seriously. Mm-hmm. She was serious. She said she actually did feel an enlightenment. I said, well, if you really believe, you're going to receive guidance and so on like this. So praise the Lord. Marilyn is communicating with me this morning. I wrote a bit of a letter to guide her, because we can't leave her now.
Yep.
All by herself.
Yep.
Trying to decide what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
I sent a letter. Marilyn sent it off, and she's the one that's going to be communicating. And we're just praying. We've been praying that she to have questions. She's going to. The secret is to have questions coming back.
Yeah.
And so we're looking forward to seeing those questions. And so it's a family. I said she belongs to we all belong to the prophet family, but this is the family of God. And so we need to participate together. So we're just living expecting now that she's going to start communicating with us. She wants to find a school. And I've already talked with you about that in Welland and for her 10-year-old. And we hope we can find, pardon?
She's homeschooling now.
Oh, she's homeschooling now. Okay. So that she was considering that, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So this just seemed so natural that it happened that way.
You were mentioning about the church for her.
Yes,
in Welland. Probably we can check it out on the internet, you know, see if I can get somebody I know around there to make some suggestion as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds
very positive. It's good.
Yes, it was.
But you follow up because, you know, you were the one that, brought it to life. And now you make a difference in her life, you know. So she needs somebody to continue on the same path.
I wholeheartedly agree. Wholeheartedly agree with that.
She goes to church and may be good or not. And so, you know, she needs guidance even after that. So
that's right.
That's right. All right. Good. Well, that's exciting. I think that things are going on. And that I expect, by the end of the year that we are going to see a number of people that came to the Lord and that they are growing. They're not just stuck there someplace and not knowing what's happening with them. We are going to know what's happening with them and we're going to keep helping them. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Good. Okay. Well, I can maybe share some things about our reach. Let me see. Oh, my goodness. we share for about 1 hour here. good. That's exciting. Okay. So one of the things I wanted to stress, and I think that as you are doing that, one thing you are going to really start to notice, okay, that the Lord moves in the situation. You know, if you forget about yourself and if you just let the Lord work through you, you're going to be very much more effective than if you're trying to, be yourself doing the things. Okay, be open and be willing to follow. But really, the important thing is you have to be careful about your focus, what you are really looking at. Are you looking at the physical thing or are you looking at things from a spiritual point of view? And the other things that you have to be careful is the way you judge situation, the way you judge them, the way you even judge yourself. So I want to read some scriptures, okay, from Paul talking about some of these things, okay? The thing is always when we minister to others, we have to learn to minister in the spirit, not in the flesh. We can minister in the flesh by just trying to push our doctrines, our ideas, and that doesn't help it much. What helps is really when you really are dealing with the issue inside them. They should deal with the situations that they are dealing with, the things that they are affecting them. So let me read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 16 says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him thus no longer." So, the word regard there is interesting and important, I think. In Greek is eido, which means to see. So he say, we don't see anybody or anything according to the flesh. We just, even Christ, we see, people look for the historical Christ. That's completely immaterial. Historical Christ was there 2,000 years ago. What counts is now that he is alive and operating now. So, this is a waste of time. and they are getting nowhere. The important thing is that we are perceptive. Our knowledge, our things, is based on not the physical things, but the spiritual things. Okay, the spiritual dimension. Don't look only at their physical reactions or at their physical situations. Look at the spiritual dimension. Look at what the spirit is doing in that particular moment. Be sensitive to what is doing in you, in them, and deal with them, respond to them that way, not in the flesh. See, this is one of the things that we had to learn to do, you know, all the time for ourselves. You know, we are going to be in a situation in which the world responds in a certain way because they get offended, or they, you know, people, even believers, they get offended. You say something that they don't like or whatever, you know, forget it. That's the offensiveness, the reaction, negative reaction, the things is things of the flesh. We have to learn to see things in the spirit, see what is important, see with the things that, you know, the way we operate is not according to the flesh. So continue in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, says there, you know, so this is really the question of being in Christ. It's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, what happens when all things are passed away? And all the other questions one can ask, what happens if all things have not passed away? This is probably even more important. What's going on here? All right, that's the second one. Okay, so the important thing, you know, that if we are in Christ, okay, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and all things have passed away, and all things have become new. So we don't react, we don't act, we don't think, we don't look at things in the same way as we did before. And this is what it's saying here. If we are in Christ, that means if the Spirit of Christ, if the Holy Spirit is working in us, then, you know, there's going to be a manifestation. And this is what really is a kind of, you know, a theme that is coming even in the sharing that was taking place. Okay, we should be different. We are different. And people that knew us before, they should see that we are not the same people. They may have a problem even accepting it. They had the same problem with Jesus. When Jesus went to Nazareth, you know, what did they say? Is this not the son of the carpenter? So you see, and he was there reading the mission that God had given us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Okay, this is, you know, the scripture is fulfilled today in your ear. I mean, that's a big statement, you know. So they were certainly looking at him, but they were looking on the exterior, and the exterior, even the exterior, looked different. Now you learn to, you know, see, think, and operate in the spiritual dimension so that you can respond different. Even when they respond in a negative way, you can react not in the way the flesh will do. Even when they, you know, may say something mean, you just do the right thing for this in the spirit to do. Okay. See, verse 18. Okay, so really, when we are in Christ, things are different. When we are, you know, the thing is, we can move from one there, from the flesh to the spirit. And sometimes, you know, the environment, the situation, you know, pushes a button and we just move in the flesh. We have to be careful not, you know, when that happens. And we have to learn to react in the right way. so that we are not put down if somebody is, you know, not responding to what we are doing. Instead of being, you know, frustrated or upset or whatever, and anything that happens, if we can respond in a way that is in the spirit, they are going to notice it. They're not going to expect that because that's the way everybody else will respond. And you are learning actually to operate in the spirit, and the anointing is not going to go off you. You remember when, you know, in the book of Acts, when they were stoning Stephen. I mean, they were stoning him, and he was there preaching at them, and he, you know, he was not affected whatsoever by what was going on. He saw Jesus standing up before him. So he had the anointing there completely operating in him. So even when things go the wrong way, you can have the anointing on you, empowering you to operate supernaturally. And the more you are in the spirit, the more supernatural the manifestation is going to be. Are you following?
They were going the wrong way physically when they were stoning Stephen, but...
Yeah. Didn't do it. Okay? He was shining like an angel, says, isn't it? So, you know, the fact is that what happened there, okay, was the element that brought Paul to his knees. Because he was there and he was, you know, organizing the whole meeting. From what scriptures say, and he shared even that later on. So the idea is that was really such a powerful experience. They didn't see the angel, they didn't see anything, but doesn't matter, you know, because their eyes were blinded, but they saw what something that was going on that was completely out of the ordinary. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, that doesn't happen only in the book of Acts. That happens today to you when you learn to do the way, you know, to respond and to stay in the spirit and to look at things in the spirit rather than looking at the physical thing, like looking at the fact that they reject you, like they're looking at the fact that, you know, they don't understand the thing, like they say things that are completely wrong and whatever. That doesn't make you anything. You look at what's going on in the spirit, the opportunity you have, what your anointing inside, that's what you have to keep on. That's what you have to keep operating in you. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And what you do makes all the difference in them. Continuing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to just talk. Was Paul in the presence of Stephen when Stephen was being stoned to death?
He was the one running the meeting or running the. He was the one organizing the thing.
Well, so that's before he got his experience at Damascus that he was kind of. Oh, I see.
Well, he was killing Christians.
Right. Okay.
Got it. He was going around picking them up. Bringing them to the council, bringing them so that they would be, you know, punished, beaten, killed, or whatever.
I get it. Okay.
Okay. So he was responsible for actually, I think, the stoning of Stephen.
He was, okay.
But, you know, sometimes God works in a strange way. I mean, Stephen's death by stoning didn't hurt him.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because he was shining like an angel and he just was there in the presence of Jesus. So he was already out of his body.
Okay. Do you think that might have affected Paul?
Oh, indeed. Paul himself said that.
Okay. Okay. I see.
Okay. So the idea that was the final step that really broke all the resistance there and made him able to change completely.
Okay.
Okay. So the way we act, see, this is another element that we can learn. You know, how important is that we have the right attitude. And we are going to talk a bit more about that, you know, when we deal with people. Because if we have the wrong attitude, we turn them off. And they feel that you don't need to say anything. Your attitude comes through clearly. Mm-hmm. Okay, no matter what. You don't say a word and they see it in your behavior, in your thing. So let me continue here. Just 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, that's our job. We have to recognize, you know, that now God has taken over and we are reconciled. You know, we are, you know, reconciled with God, and we have to see what happens to us. And this is what God wants for them to, for us to minister to them. The fact is what happened to us that time. This is why possibly your experience of coming to the Lord, sharing that, is possibly very effective most of the time, if you learn to do it properly, with people, because they, you know, doesn't matter the way they're going to react. If it's consistent with your lifestyle and what appeared your behavior now, okay, if you look, you are transformed, you are changed, that is going to affect them. Because, as you know, they make the two things, connect the two things, and they see, well, what happened to him, it worked. Because look at the way he is now. Or to her. Are you following what I'm saying? This is so important to understand, because it's so easy to try to push religion on people. And we are not pushing life, are just pushing doctrine. They had to see the relationship and the reality of our relationship with God that comes true, not with logic, but will come true with who we are. And the idea of reconciliation is really the things that has to motivate us. Reconciling them, you know, the word in Greek, reconcile, is katalasso, which means to reconcile one that is different, that one is in disagreement. So you come to a place in which from disagreement, you come to agreement. So that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to change a person so that from disagreeing with God, they start agreeing with God. They start recognizing, for example, that they needed the Savior. They start recognizing that they are sinners. They start recognizing, you know, but you don't, it's not that you're trying to talk about all these things. You're demonstrating that by living it, by talking about yourself, by, you know, being an example of that new reality. You are a new person. Okay? So this is really the effective way to reach out to people. Don't look at them according to the external appearances. Okay? Look at them from, you know, where they are and where they have to get. And this is, you know, your work is to bring them there by being in the spirit, by ministering life to them, not thinking ideas, theories, or anything else. Are you following the principle? Okay. That's important. See, if you learn to do that, you're going to be very effective. It's not any question of, doesn't mean that you're going to be successful all the time. Jesus wasn't successful with the Pharisees. See, the most difficult people are not the ones that are off, the ones that, have the wrong ideas, the ones that are in sin. More difficult people are the people who are religious, because they think they know, even if they don't. And that's what the Pharisees were like. They thought they were the Holy One, and Jesus was the sinner, associating himself with sinners. Okay. Now, see, these are where the people that actually Jesus was a bit harder with, because noted, didn't get anywhere with them. Okay. So, let me continue, verse 19. That is, the God was in Christ reconciling the world, everybody. Okay, that's the principle here that we have to. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. That includes the people you're talking with. Okay? Jesus took their sins. And so at this moment, they are taken by Jesus. They don't know it. And really, to be effective for them, they had to accept it. Otherwise, it won't work. It doesn't matter that somebody took it if they don't. There has to be an exchange, the greatest change. Their sin to Jesus and Jesus' righteousness to them. But the thing has been done already. And you can almost see it done already. And if you can see it done already, your faith is going to work to bring it to pass. See, you had to, this is a work of faith, not in your abilities, not in your thing. It's the fact that what Jesus did is powerful and effective today. Okay. So, that in Christ I reconcile the whole world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. See, that's why Jesus, you know, the angel says, you know, that, you know, peace to man, you know, goodwill toward man. Okay? Peace and goodwill toward man. Because God was taking a position. See, with Jesus coming and with Jesus' death, the old things, the old interaction between man and God changed. Jesus took the sins of everybody. That's what they're saying here. The fact is, unless they take it by faith, it doesn't do anything to them because they're going to stay there where they were before. It's like Jesus didn't come for them. See, that's why God is not punishing anyone for their sins today, because their sins have already been punished. And God cannot punish two people for the same reason. The devil is going to take advantage that their position is no good and is going to inflict as much as he can on them, if it's convenient for him. Are you following me? See, the wrath of God is going to come. The punishment is going to come. It's going to come in the next phase of the story. After Jesus comes and takes up the church, then there is no excuse anymore. They refused it, and they are going to have to deal with the situation. That's what the word says.
I have a question.
Pardon me?
I have a question.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead. Oh, sorry. Yes, go ahead.
Please. The statement you just said.
Yep.
It is the same you said on Sunday.
Yeah.
That God is not going to punish
now.
Punish
for
us.
Now. For now. In this period of time.
Okay.
This is the period of grace. But the period of grace ends with Jesus coming. And the Holy Spirit is pulled out of the world. and the grace is not going to be there anymore. And people, if they want to get saved, they have to go through tribulation. That's what the word says. Okay. At the moment, at the moment, he refrained himself. And the reason why he refrained himself is because, as it says here, you know, very clearly, you know, that all the sins of the world were taken care of by Jesus. He died for all of them. So if he died for all of them, he paid already. He died on the cross, took them on himself. Okay. The thing is, unless you take it by faith, it's not going to work for you. Okay. So our faith is what saves us from the punishment. Okay. But in this case, you know, at this time, it's not God's punishment, but it's the devil that we are not protected by God. We are on our own way. We are refusing to receive it. So the devil has a ground to inflict us, you know, pain and problems and sufferings. He's the one producing problems for believers today, not God. You notice that I said that last time. I remember saying it. Okay. That's good. That's good. Thank you for asking the question, because enabled me to explain it even better so that people can remember it. Okay. There are many things, you know, that shows this. This is not the only scriptures. You know, there are many scriptures that shows that clearly. And, you know, if you read all the scripture, you can see that all are in harmony with this principle. Okay. That's why it's called the period of grace. Okay, because God's grace in operation, God's grace is that we get what we don't deserve. Okay, this is a gift of God. The only thing we have to do is to believe what Jesus did. I mean, that's a pretty good deal, right? Because, you know, that's not very much work, and, you know, no matter what we have done. The whole thing is taken because what Jesus did is so big and so powerful, they can take care of everything. So let me continue here. So imputing, so the God has in Christ reconciled the world to himself. Okay, in Christ reconciling, but it has to be in Christ. Okay, so to have that reconciliation, to have that restoration. Okay, not imputing their trespasses to them. Okay, so they don't imputing, you know, it's accounting or esteeming their sins, essentially, or their trespasses. You know, is logi zomai, logi jami, which actually means, you know, to counting or to esteeming or, you know, considering for them, okay, what they have done. Okay, not taking count of that. Okay, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. So we can go and say to them, Lord, look, God has forgiven you. You have to accept, but you have to accept what Jesus has done. And when you do that, you receive forgiveness. You receive everything that Jesus has done, and you can list all the things that God has done. Okay, but they have to understand that's the free gift that they get just simply by believing that Jesus took it, by having faith in the Messiah, by having faith in Jesus. But they have to do that. See, that's why our job is to make him reconcile with God. Okay, that means reconcile, as I said before, is to come to the same in agreement, come to the same point. Two people, they have two different positions, they come to the same place and they are reconciled, they come to agreement. Okay, and that involves a change. Following verse, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. See, we bring the good news. Okay, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, that has to be the attitude, the approach that we take in ministering to them. It's not that we are any better than they are. It's not that we are so special. It's not that we know everything. It's just that Jesus did everything that needed to be done, and we know it, and we just share with them. And, you know, we are beneficial of the same thing that they are going to be beneficial. And we can share with them because we experience ourselves. We can witness of the change, and they can see the change in us. If they can see the change in us, that becomes a very compelling and convincing thing for them. So, you know, we should look at ourselves and make sure that our behaviors demonstrate who we are. Because if our behavior doesn't demonstrate who we are, that means that we are not who we think we are. Because when the change takes place, there is a change in our attitude, behavior, and everything else. Okay. So we change, okay? It's just a question, you know, we're talking about repentance here. Okay. There has to be a change. There has to be a transformation there. Okay. And you change their position from the one being indifferent or not knowing or to agreeing with God. You know, and our attitude toward them is critical. If we are, you know, coming as better than them, we are fooling ourselves because, you know, we were in the same place where they were. And the reason why we are not there is because of God's grace and not because we deserve it. Okay. So if we are critical, we are going to have a negative impact on them. And we are not perfect. We have to recognize that. Okay. We still don't know everything. Okay. Our holiness is not our holiness. It's Jesus' holiness that has been transferred to us. The thing that we do well is because of what he has done. Okay. What we are today is only because of God's grace. So we have to have that kind of an attitude inside us. You know, if you go with the older than thou or the older than you attitude, that turns people off and you can get anywhere. So looking at things in general from a spiritual aspect, what happens to us, what happened to us, what happened in the spirit, what are we communicating? This is really critical in how our spiritual position is. Okay. And there are so many other scriptures that say the same thing, but I'm going to move now to Colossians. That has to do with us, you know, demonstrating who we are. Because that is the, I said, is the most effective witness to them. Okay. See, and to do that, you know, see what we want and what others see in us is important. Our goal, our objective, the way we look at reality, you know, we said, you know, look at this, you know, be in the spirit, look at the spirit. Okay. Now, let me go to Colossians chapter 3. What is this? Okay, a few more minutes. Are you getting anything on this? Do you see what I'm getting? It's helping you. This should help you to know, you know, how to position yourself as you are doing it. If you are thinking about them rejecting you and, you know, whatever, you missed the boat. You just can't, you didn't get anywhere. They can reject you. And even if they reject you, you may have such a strong impact on them because you are in the spirit. And they can see it. Not only they can even feel it. And sometimes the demons inside them may react and maybe just, and you don't fight the demons. You laugh at them. You are more powerful than they are. if you can hold your position. Okay. Let me go here. You know, remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you know, you are a new creature, all things are of God. Let that be what is inside you, who you are. And the more you learn to live in that space, live in that reality, the more you're going to be effective in everything you do. This is what really says here, Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, see, when we are raised with Christ, means, you know, we are born again, we are, you know, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Okay. So that's the thing we had to go after. Okay. That has to be the things we go after, that we seek. Okay. And so we, even in this thing, you know, we can go around witnessing to, you know, do something big and to do, no. You just look at the fact that you have a ministry of reconciliation because you are an ambassador, and that's all it counts. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things on earth. So you care about what happens spiritually there. For you died if your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, the fact that your life is hidden with Christ in God means, you know, that the life you had before is concealed. The word hidden here means concealed. Okay. When they see you, when anyone sees you, they don't see you, they have to see Christ. That's what he's saying here. Your life is concealed in Christ, with Christ in God. Okay. That's what it means. God and others looking at you must see Jesus. Not because theoretically you die, because actually he's there. And it's not your ability, it's not your, it's him that is in you. The reality of him being alive in you. And when you are looking for things that are above and not things of the earth, that we are focused on the spiritual thing, not on the appearances, that is going to be manifested. That is God's power to make you behave the right way, to make you act, to be his representative, because you are hidden with Christ in God. God is not just, you know, lots of people says hidden, your life is hidden with Christ, that means, you know, he's not looking at your sin. No. What it means here that your life is hidden, is actually hidden. That means, you know, it's concealed. Concealed, you know, if people look at you, they should see Jesus. It says there and here, and when Christ who is in when Christ who is our life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So he's talking about the second coming here. If it's true that you are in Christ, at the second coming, what's going to happen, that you are going to be appearing with him, okay, in glory. That means you're going to have a glorified body. That means you are going to be raptured. That means I'm ready to go. Are you? I mean, you know, when you start picking up actually what the word is saying in the scriptures, you know, you start seeing, you know, the plan of God, the mystery of God, what he's planning for us. But we have a part. And the part is that we are seeking the things that which are above and not the things that are below. You know, we have to be looking and focused on spiritual things, not physical things. And that is in general. our life has to be oriented that way. The focus that I was talking about before in the previous scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is the same thing as saying here, but here is expanding, is giving us much more. He's telling you even about the second coming. Somebody said something? Just a sound. Okay. So when people should, you know, look at you, they, you know, should see Jesus operating in you, having changed your life. Okay. And you know, as you take that, if you take a position, you know, if you start trying to win this or stuff like that, or you start, you know, and you react in faith in the proper way, okay, they're going to see that. But when you, even children can see these things, probably better than grown up. Let me continue, you know, explain how this happened. Colossians 3:5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. So you see, this is the way you actually do it. You don't let yourself, you know, you put to death those things. You crucify them at a place, sacrifice the flesh. Okay. So put to fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay. Why is idolatry? Anybody? Why these things are idolatry?
Would it be things you focus more than God? Because, and it's always like that.
Well, yeah. I mean,
more important.
Idolatry is to worship something. So that means that these things, you know, the things you're looking at, you give more importance than God.
Because it's our flesh. We're getting,
that's right.
We're
those are things of the flesh.
Our flesh on the idol.
And so you're not really looking and concentrating on things above, but you're, you know, motivated by things below. Okay? So verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. It doesn't say that God is now on this son of disobedience. It's coming. And when is it coming? After Jesus come down. So even here, reinforces what I was saying before. Went up. All right. Yeah, it's coming. So you know, he's talking about the wrath of God is coming on who? The sons of disobedience. So these are not the sons, the children of God, but it's called here the sons of disobedience. Okay, that means, you know, our behavior shows who our father is. Because that's the way, you know, all the names, you know, sons of God, sons of the devil, or whatever, and so on. You know, our behavior shows really who we worship, who we believe, who we value more. Okay. So, let me see. Oh my, this is 8:40. Okay, I think we should stop here. Maybe I'm going to read another scripture. John chapter 1, verse 12, you know, but as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. You see, John 1, 12 says very clear, we had the right to become children of God, but we had to believe in his name to become the children of God. We had to accept him for what he has done. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. We are not children of God. We are just you know, sons of disobedience. says, we were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of the will of God. That means, you know, born of the will of God. Again, another born component here. Born of the will of God means that we have the will of God and not the will of man, not the will of the flesh. That means, you know, our thinking, our mind has been renewed to know the will of God. If our mind, you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know, beloved, about, you know, the, about, which above all thing, you know, the fact that we need to renew our mind so that we can know the perfect will of God. Okay, so the process of becoming the children of God, the sons of God, is really to have grown in understanding through the word so that we have aligned ourselves with the will of God, because our will is God's will. Now, in the things we know, the thing we don't know, God is going, because our will is to do the will of God, we are going to work on, and you're going to change and transform. Okay, I think that I'm going to stop here. Any questions? Did you get anything tonight? You found it useful, some of these concepts that I'm trying to address in terms of understanding how we walk today and how our look, what we look, the way we focus ourselves, the way we think, the way we, you know, value things, has to be transformed, changed by the reality of our understanding of what Jesus did.
Very useful, Pastor. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. See, it's not just a question of following the law. It's a question of, participating in a spiritual reality that is there, and that is our focus, that's our life, that's everything. And that's where the power is. Not because we seek power. We seek God. But you cannot seek God and not have power. Because God is power. But doesn't magnify us, but magnifies God. We give glory to God through our being. Praise the Lord. So if you have any questions or anything, or if you just think of some question during the week, just write it down or send me an email or whatever.
So when you say give glory to God through our behavior, it means all the time, 24/7,
Our focus is, that's what our focus is.
Yeah.
Pleasing God.
Yeah.
Doing the will of God. To the extent that we know it, because we know it only up to a certain point, but this is why we, because that's why we want to study the word, to have revelation of the word so that we can actually implement it in our life, because that's the only way we're going to do it.
Okay.
It's not religious activities that we do anymore. It's good works that we do that God is doing through us. And we don't feel good about doing good works. That's the least we can do. And it's not us doing them. Is God doing them in us. And so the only thing we can do, says God, you know, I'm not worthy, but thank you. Mm-hmm. And be grateful to it.
Okay, so we don't feel good doing God's works, but
it's not that we feel, it's not that we don't feel
good. What I mean is
we don't feel proud of ourselves.
Okay.
We feel good about God.
Right, exactly. Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah, to interpret probably what I'm saying.
Yeah. I have to be bang on with my.
No, that's okay.
I understand things.
That's fine. Yeah. That's why we have to question everything. Because by questioning, you know, we are seeking the truth, not seeking to be brainwashed into some ideas.
Right, exactly. Okay.
All right. Well, I think that... we should close in prayer if there are no more questions.
Thank you for the lesson tonight, Maurizio. That was really good.
Thank you.
It's helping me understand more on how to witness to people and so on. It's really helping me. Thank you.
You know, helps to how to witness people probably, but also help us to walk the right way anytime.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So, exactly. Yeah.
You know, you cannot do one. You cannot do one without doing the other.
Amen.
You know what
Amen.
I mean?
So, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So this is the thing. This is the thing that as we open up and as we get closer to God, automatically the things that God wants us to do, we are going to do. But the whole picture is going to be together. It's going to be consistent.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. Thank you, Maurizio.
You're welcome. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I think we should ask somebody else to close in prayer. Mark, you like to close in prayer? Did you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you. I'm
glad to thank you, Father, for your very presence here tonight with all of us. Your presence, Holy Spirit, is guiding us, guiding the pastor. What a beautiful revelation of your very presence. What a beautiful revelation of what you would have us do in sharing with others and sharing our heart with your presence in us, guiding us, doing the will, your will, the will of the Father and of the Son. We're just grateful, O Lord, for this teaching. We're grateful for how you minister to us in ministering to others, many of which are hurting, many of which are hearing from you in spirit and in truth, but do not know how to turn, how to respond. And Father, you're guiding us. You're showing us how to display your very presence, display your very character in such a way that they will receive. We're living expecting, O Lord, that we are going to make changes. We're living expecting that we're going to make changes in ourselves, and changes are going to be manifested in others as we go forth doing the will of you, the Father. We're living expecting to see great and mighty things that you are moving us towards, moving us to be doing the will of you, the Father. We are living expecting to overcome and become all that you would have us become, because you have a plan for our lives. Great and mighty are you, Lord, in giving us the revelation, giving us the spirit of overcoming and recognizing the reconciliation that we have through Christ Jesus. All of this is just uplifting to me tonight, to us tonight.
Yes, amen.
We just, I just feel an anointing pouring forth in my spirit. There's a mighty anointing pouring forth in each and every one of us. Great and mighty are you, the Lord our God, and we're just planning, and we're expecting one more time that we're going to see a mighty pouring forth out of our hearts, transforming us and transforming others. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your prayer. Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor, for the teaching tonight. I wrote a lot of things down, so.
Amen.
We're going to practice them.
Try to put it on the web as soon as possible. I think this, you know, I am behind in that. I am going to try to catch up maybe in the next couple of days.
All right.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See you, Penny.
See you at church. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye, Pastor.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Lillian.
Bye, Lillian.
Bye.
Oh, I have something.
Lillian.